Lansing Fisher Body Historical Team Interview. It's Thursday, February 9th, 2006. The time is approximately 12:45 p.m. We're at UAW Local 602, Frank Dreyer Greenhouse. We'll first start out with the interviewers.
Earl Nicholson.
Cheryl McQuaid.
Doug Rademacher.
John Fedewa.
Gary Judy.
And I'm Marilyn Coulter. Today we're here with Ms. Marta Bobillo. Marta, will you please say and spell your name for us, please?
Marta Milagros Bobillo, MartaBobillo.
And could you give us your address, please?
4139 Sheffield Boulevard, Lansing, Michigan, 48911.
Are you married?
No, I'm divorced.
Children?
Four.
Boys, girls?
Two boys and two girls.
Marta, where were you born?
I was born in Santa Clara, Cuba.
And were you raised there also?
Up to the age of 15.
And how did you get to?
I came to the United States in the Freedom Flights.
Freedom Flight? All right. And your education level, please?
I finished high school in Waverly High School, and I got 2 years of college.
Any military background?
I was brought up in a military school in Cuba from the age of 7 to the age of 15.
And what did your parents do?
My dad, previous to Castro, my dad used to work as a private eye for working for the United States for four different governments. And my mother was a teacher in the University of Santa Clara and I don't know how you say it here, it was like a designer for clothing, like for clothing designers.
And did they do that here in the United States also?
No, they didn't. When we came here from Cuba, because of the lack of the language, my mother had to do sewing at home from different companies, and my dad came to work at Fisher Body 3 days after we arrived here.
So he worked at Fisher. Did he retire from Fisher Body also?
Yes, he retired from Fisher Body.
Oh. Now, was he a line worker or was he a skilled tradesperson?
My dad started in the body shop, and then he went into paint department, and then he went to sanitation before he retired.
And what did you do before you hired into Fisher Body?
I was a housewife before I hired Fisher Body.
So, why did you hire into Fisher Body?
The time I hired Fisher Body, I had two small children and I was married, but the money was pretty tight at the time because we had some of my ex-husband's relatives living with us, and so I went in there to help out with the money.
So, you hired in what year?
I got hired in 1977.
1977, so you have, what, 28 years seniority now?
Yes, I do.
So, when you hired in here, I want to take you back to when you first hired in. Can you tell me what your process was like and what your first day was like when you came into Fisher Body?
My dad got out of work one night, and he knew that we were struggling financially. So I only live two blocks from Fisher Body. So my dad stopped by the house and told me, if you want to work at Fisher Body, even though I don't approve of you working there, they are taking applications right now. So I walk over there. It was early in the morning. I walk and put in my application, and a week later I got hired.
A week later, do you remember what job you did?
My first job in the shop was putting HVACs together, the air conditioner and heating system. And I was there a week. And then I was sent to the body shop to hang doors on the wagons and on the tornadoes.
So I'm just going to take you back just a little bit. But first, with your first job, you said you were doing HVAC systems. So were you building that on the line, or was that something that you did off the line?
It was three people. And we had to build them and put in every 20 minutes we rotate.
You rotate to?
To build it, to install it in the car.
Oh, so you build and install it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, but taking another break back, you said that your father didn't approve of you working here. Why did he not want you?
Well, he wanted me to go to, keep on going to school. And even though I was married and had kids, he didn't want me to work in the shop.
Oh, I see. Just didn't want you to work in the shop. And you said that also you lived two blocks away. What was it like, and what did you know about the plant before you came in?
My husband at the time, he was working on the plant, and my dad was working on the plant. So, and I had uncle, and I have quite a few family members. So I know they worked hard at the time, and I really wanted, I never thought of myself working in the factory, honestly. But I never heard nothing bad about it either, so I was just, to me, it was like, I'm very grateful to Fisher Body because we got here from Cuba and 3 weeks later, I mean 3 days later, I'm sorry, 3 days later, my dad was working there, so we never had to be in welfare, we never had to ask nobody for money because even 9 months after that, we own our own house.
Oh, that's excellent. So you came in and you knew you could get a good job there and it was a good living. And so did it make it a little bit easier for you coming into the plant since you knew your father and your husband already worked there?
Not really, because they were in the opposite shift. I got hired in the day shift.
Day shift? And how long were you on the day shift?
I was on the day shift until my 90 days.
So in 1977, when you hired in, what department? You were in the trim department?
I got hired into trim.
For the
and a week later, they sent me to the body shop because they needed people in the body shop.
In the trim shop, were there many women there?
Not a few, but not many. But when I got to the body shop, there was nobody out there.
So,
no females, hardly.
First of all, you're only, how tall are you, Martin?
I'm 5'6".
You're 5'6", and you're a small woman.
I was 97 pounds back then.
97 pounds, and you just told us that you were hanging doors.
Yes, I was.
So can you please explain hanging doors and being so small? What did that?
If I would have been the age I was at the time, only 20 years old, I don't think I could handle it. I was in that job for 30 days until they moved me from that job to doing the hoods and the car. And at that time, I have a partner that was 6'2", so it was not easy putting hoods on the cars.
So when you say you were hanging doors, were you physically picking these doors up? Did you have any equipment?
No, I was picking them up myself and putting them on.
And were they heavy?
Very.
Very heavy. And you did it for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to learn that job?
Probably second day I was doing it alone.
The second day you were doing it alone. So were there many women down the river?
No. At the time, I didn't even like going to the bathroom because all the whistling and screaming with the guys. It was terrible.
It was terrible? Mm-hmm. So at that time, 1977, it was still difficult for women inside the plant?
Yes, it was.
So can you tell us a little bit about what that was like?
I just didn't like the, you know, the harassment. Actually, at the time, you didn't call it harassment, but to me it was. And I was a married woman with two kids, and just even if I went to the bathroom or got out of my little area where they didn't know who I was, they'd be screaming, you know, whistling and stuff.
So primarily it came from the guys who really didn't know who you
mm-hmm.
were.
Yes, it did.
But what about for the ones that you worked with on your, in your general area?
I had to prove that I can do the job to them. They doubted me at first, and then they see I did it and tried my best, and they respect me.
So at first they didn't think that you needed to be there, being a little woman and in the body shop with all these men, and did they help you learn the job?
Some of the, you know, that was the impression at first, that I didn't need to be there and I should be a secretary. I was told that many times, that I should be doing critical, you know, being a secretary or something, and I said, no, I can do this. And well, some of the guys would give up on me, and other guys would show me an easier way to do it. And when they see I can do it, I earn their respect.
So if there weren't many women down there, how was it for the facilities? Was it a big area? What was the environment like?
I had to go to the bathroom, to go to the ladies' bathroom all the way up to almost by the offices there by the hospital. Because there were no ladies' bathroom on the body shop.
So about how far would you say that was? How many minutes did it take you to go?
About 5 minutes.
5 minutes to get to the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
And so, Marta, you were in the body, you started in trim, and then you were in the body shop. But I want to take you back a little bit also. When you hired in, did you hire in a small group of people on your first day? Were there a lot of men hiring in trim, a lot of women? Were you in a group? How was that?
I got hired in a group of 15.
15.
It was three of us ladies, and the rest of them were guys.
So how were you chosen to go to the HVAC group?
They just sent us to the department they needed us in.
So were you like in a room and then they told you where to go, or did somebody come and get you and take you there? Did the supervisor pick you?
We were in a room and the supervisor would, you know, came and told that we were told where to go.
Okay. And so you worked there and you did that job. You obviously said you learned it in the next couple of days and you felt comfortable and you're doing that. And then how did you feel when they said go to body shop, and why did they tell you you had to go to body shop?
They said they needed us in the body shop and they had enough people in trim. There was somebody on vacation that I was replacing them. And one of the ladies that got hired with me was sent to the body shop the first day. And when I went down there a week later and asked for her, to, you know, where she was at, so I wanted to have lunch with her, they told me she had quit the first day by lunchtime because her hair got on fire with the sparks from the welding.
So her hair caught on fire.
And she got scared and quit by lunchtime that first day we got hired.
So what was some... Doug Redman.
Marta, did you ever speak to her after?
No.
The day you met her when you hired in, you never met her again?
I had never seen her again.
Thank you.
Because two of us ladies went to trim, and the other, she went to the body shop because she was bigger built. She was like about 5'8", and heavier than we were. So they sent her right the first day to the body shop.
Marta, you're in the body shop. How, and they had fire and smoke, how did the dress differ from trim shop to body shop? Did you have to wear special clothing if there's fire and sparks? And
I had a hairnet because I had long hair at the time. Plus, I had to wear then coveralls from the body shop.
So was there any protective equipment that you had to wear?
That was it. I didn't have no gloves or nothing. Just
no gloves? What about your eyes?
I don't really remember if we wore glasses back then. I don't think so. I don't believe wearing glasses until way down the road.
So was it noisy?
Very, very noisy.
How did that compare to the trim shop?
I couldn't even speak to the person across from me at the time. Especially I was soft-spoken and being new in the body shop, so I couldn't even talk to the man that was working across from me until the breaks.
So how did you communicate?
Probably by signs and, you know, by just pointing and stuff.
Pointing. Were there any kind of new hire initiations or pranks or things that you had to deal with?
Probably that 90 day to see if you can last. You know, how they changed me around in different jobs for my first 90 days.
What about the coworkers? Did they do any pranks or...
Some of them did.
What types of things did they do?
Hide my lunch. Do different little things just to, you know, see what I would do.
Hide your lunch.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do for lunch? Did you bring it in every day? Did you go to the cafeteria?
I used to bring my lunch and sit right there. That's the only time I can rest, especially when I was in the body shop.
Did you get many breaks?
No, not really, because a lot of time I would use my breaks to fill out the bolts and everything to make sure that I was ready when the line started back up.
You worked during your breaks?
Yes, I did, many of them.
And why did you do that?
Because I had to prove a point that I was a woman, I can do it. I wasn't going to, you know, stop the line myself.
You weren't going to stop the line yourself, so you didn't take much breaks? You just, what, did you just go to the bathroom? And
I normally just go to the bathroom at lunch. I wouldn't do too much drinking of water or anything. Because it was so far away, and I normally didn't have enough time.
Since your father and your husband Were you still working opposite shift of them when you were in the body shop?
Yes, I was.
Okay. So you didn't have anybody who would come and help you? With...
No.
So how long did you hang doors?
I hang doors for about 30 days.
You learned that job?
Yes.
You got it. Then how did you get transferred to the...
Then they moved to me to Declan's. And put a new hire on the doors.
And the Declan is what?
The front of the car.
The front?
I mean, not the hood. I mean, I'm sorry. I was doing hoods.
The hood?
Hoods.
And was it a better job or a worse job to hang the doors?
In a sense, it was better because it wasn't as much heavy lifted. But it was worse because we had to be two of us to put it on. And my partner was 6'2", so I had to be in my tippy toes to be, you know, lifted up with it.
You had to be on your tippy-toes.
Yes.
So, how long did you do that?
I did that for 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Then you did what?
Then I was put as utility, as an extra person there in that department, in the door department.
A utility person does what?
Replace whoever didn't come in to work that day.
Was that a preferred job?
For me, it wasn't because I had a different job every day. You know, I mean, they were all pretty hard jobs to learn.
Would you feel that because they put you on so many different jobs, it helped you?
It made me stronger. It made me stronger. They say that I can do it, you know. But at the time, I think they were trying to see if I can make my 90 days or if I would break down because a lot of the people that were hired with me didn't make it.
Did many of the other women that were in there break down?
I'm the only woman of the three of us that stayed there.
Oh, how long did the other one last? Do you remember?
I don't know. I never found out, but I know she's not there because when I look at my seniority date, she's not in there.
Oh. Were, how did the supervisors treat you?
Well, I remember one time when I was utility in the body shop and I only been here for working for a couple of months, they sent me to upstairs to trim because everybody showed up in the body shop and they needed somebody to trim. And one of the supervisors, when I got there, he said, I asked for somebody, I didn't ask for a kid. Because being that I wasn't even 100 pounds, I was real small, so he told me. And my supervisor that came with me to bring me where the area where I was going to be working, he said, she might look like a kid, but she worked like a man. So he left me that day, and he used to call for me to come up and work for him again when they needed it. But it was just, you know, you had to prove yourself all the time.
So once you gained the respect from the men, being a utility woman who mm-hmm. could do it, mm-hmm. they knew that might have been work.
That's right.
How did that make you feel when that supervisor spoke up for you?
Well, I was, you know, I feel that I earned his respect. That, you know, I earned respect that when, because back then, you know, a lot of the male supervisors didn't really respect you. But our... You see, when I was, the first day I got hired when I went to trim to work, Arlene Parker was my supervisor. And on the HVAC, yeah, and she had been my dad's partner on the body shop welding. And she went through a lot of harassment herself in the body shop, so she gave me a little pep talk that day, and I think that helped me a lot through the years, you know. You don't break down. You go and get stronger and go out there and show that you can do it. My dad used to call her the little sergeant. Because so, they were partners in the body shop for a long time.
So someone who was a friend of your father's actually helped you by giving you words of wisdom.
Yes, Arlene Parker did help me a lot.
Were there many women who were supervisors back then?
No, she just became a supervisor like 6 months prior to me being in there.
How was that to work for a woman in the plant?
I really never had no problem working for a woman. I know a lot of the other ladies have a lot of problem working for females, but I never did.
How long did you work in the body shop?
I on my 87th day, I was sent back again to trim.
Sent back to trim.
Because they said I was not needed in the body shop anymore.
Transition. Tell me about that. Hope.
It was a completely different scenario again in trim. At that time, I was sent to work in repair. And that was, they had 30 men working repair for the C line and 30 men working for the A line. It was A line and B line, right? A line and B line. So they sent me to the A line. And it was 29 men and myself, and they all had a lot of seniority. And I only had 87 days seniority. So that didn't go too well either.
Can you tell us about it?
I learned a lot. I learned a lot because some of the guys took me under their wing and they called me Kid. That was my nickname. Some of them still call me Kid when they see me. But they took me under the wing. At first, it didn't go too well either. Then they showed me how to do it. And I was, Larry Simon was my partner, and him and I did like every repair guys did, one on each side of the line.
Repair, if I'm not mistaken, is considered to be preferred work. Yes?
Yes, it sure is.
89 days is a seniority, and you're in the repair department, working with 29 men. For those 29 men, it didn't go over too well. When you say it didn't go over too well, can you explain that for me?
Some of them complain about me not having no seniority and doing the job, or they're saying that I wasn't be able to learn the job or do any, I was going to slow them down. All different kind of complaints.
On repair, did you work on the line while the jobs were moving down the line, or were you in banks?
On the line, as the jobs were moving. We had sets of two to repair.
What did you have to know to work in repair?
And the time I was started there, I had the rear doors and anything to do with the trunk. They had to split us up in teams.
So any part that went on that door or in that trunk, you had to know.
Yes, I did.
How long did it take you to learn that job?
Not long.
Were there any pranks played on you there?
Oh, yeah.
Can you share any of those?
All the time they always had something to do. They would hide my tools. They put the wrong tools on my pouch when I went to break and all different kind of things. Just to see if I knew whatever, you know, the tools were, what I needed to use. So, like the sockets would be one of the things that they were switching around to see if I, when I grabbed a socket, I knew what it was.
And was that the same once you passed the test?
I was part of them.
Those were pranks that were testing pranks. Were there any kind of pranks that were just fun, a way to laugh, to get you through the day?
We did have a lot of fun. We ate a lot back then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some Fridays we all bring something and have a little dinner and we had a lot of fun.
On Fridays, everybody brought dinner? How was that for being a woman with all those men? Did you end up doing a lot of the food?
Yes, a lot of it, yes.
Oh, was that something that was expected of you?
Yes, it was.
How did you feel about that?
At the time, now I think about it, but at the time I didn't think about it because I thought it was expected for me to do it, you know.
Just feed the guys and by feeding them, did that make it easier for you to work there too?
Yes, it did.
Go into a man's heart through his belly, huh?
That's right.
Let him work with you. You're working. How long did you do repair?
I did repair for 9 months.
9 months. How did the women think about you? What did the women think about you, knowing that here you were a woman working over there and they're over there working on the line doing something else? Did they treat you the same?
Not really.
Can you tell me about that?
A lot of the women, you know, they would ask me, what was I doing there? How did I get that job? That was one of the questions, how do you get that job?
How'd you get that job?
Mm-hmm.
And your response would be?
I was sent here from the body shop. That was the opening they had at the time.
Mm-hmm. How'd the supervisors treat you?
I really didn't have no problem with supervisors. What I did at the time is Tom Brown was the general foreman, and he would have somebody do my job to take me off the line and do a lot of critical work for him. Do a lot of the typing and a lot of the, at the time, you know, they had to do a lot of reports and stuff, or he had would put somebody in there and take me off the line at least Thursdays or Fridays to do the weeks, whatever they had to write for the week, the reports.
How did your coworkers feel about that?
I think the guy suspected I was a woman, and, you know. When I first started there, he asked me, because the general foreman's office was right by the repair,
mm-hmm.
and he asked me if I can type, and if I can, you know, write in English and stuff, and I said, yeah, I speak with an accent, but I don't think with one, or write with one. So he had me do a lot of his work. Once a week.
You speak English. Were there many people who spoke Spanish also working around you? Were there people who automatically thought that maybe you couldn't, even though you can?
I stayed to myself most mm-hmm. of the time. I really don't.
What, were there any other people who were Hispanic, Latino, Cuban working?
Not around my area, no.
Were there many in that, do you know whether or not there were many working in the plant at that time?
I think they were about body shop mainly.
In the body shop mainly?
Yes.
Okay. So, you're working there, you're typing, you're cooking, plus you're doing the men's work. What was it like for you to do all that at work and then go home and be a mother and raise your kids and be a wife?
Today, I don't know how I did it. Because I would have to go home and take care of two little kids and laundry and cook and everything. And on top of being tired for doing all men's work and on the shop. So today I really, at this age, I don't think I could do it. I was young and strong, I think.
Did you stay on the same shift? How did the shift you worked and raising your kids go?
I went to, I stayed on this first shift for a year. That's when I got bumped from repair to door rubbers a year later.
Oh, so now you got bumped. What does that mean, you got bumped?
I had somebody that had more time, had put in for repair, and came to repair, and I had to go back to door rubbers on the opposite shift.
So you got changed from your department, changed from your shift, and now you're doing another job. Tell me about that.
I was, at the time, the door rubbers was, you had to pound them on because they had some clips that you had to do, and then you had to put some sealer and you had to roll them in. I was doing the front door. So we had four people doing left and right and front and rear.
How was that for you?
That was a tough job.
It was a tough job. Mm-hmm. Once again, were there many women there?
I didn't get mostly women until 78, like September, a little bit after I've been there a couple of months. Then we started 78 coming in.
Okay. You're in trim shop, and you said there wasn't much difference with that. What difference was it between working on the day shift and the night shift? Was there a difference?
I think the men accepted us more, and we didn't have all the, you know, screaming and hollering and that stuff difference, but it was the more partying.
Hard.
And the night shift, it was a different crowd, the younger crowd.
So what? Tell me about the environment. What was it like?
Yes, I was shocked myself because I was, there was a lot of people that would go to, you know, have their fun at lunch and come back and be different.
So what kind of fun were they having at lunch?
Go have their little drinks and stuff.
Oh, where were they drinking? Drinking the parking lot? Where were they drinking?
I don't really know.
Really? No. So you were there, and was there music? Was there noise? Was there more pranks? What types of things? What was the environment like?
I was in a very, I had one of the best partner I ever had. I think it was in the Roberts. Dave Evans.
What made him the best partner?
He was... I mean, everybody that had any problem anywhere would come and talk to Dave. That man always brought his lunch every day. He never left his bench. And never, ever, in the year and a half that I was partners with him, if he had a bad day, he left it at home. He always was in a nice, pleasant... Mm-hmm.
So, were there younger people on night shift than day shift?
Yes.
Right? Marta, you're working on the night shift. It's different. There's younger people. They're got music going. They're doing more partying. You've been in the body shop. You've been in repair. You're hanging doors. You said it was hard. What made the job hard? You said you had to roll them in and stuff. Can you make us understand a little bit more about what made it hanging door rubbers hard?
That it was so busy and you had to do so many motions. Like when I was pounding the bottom part of the door and the sides, I had to, like the bottom, I was in my head. And I remember a remark that one of the repairmen down the line had to say when he went by that he asked me, "Let me see your other face because I've been looking at this one every time I go by." And it's because we spend so much time pounding the side of the car, then we had to at the door, and then we had to seal it and roll them in. So that was so busy that by the time we get done doing all this, the next car was there in front of you. So I had to run and get another door rubber and make sure if it was a 2-door or 4-door or a 98 or 88 different kinds we had in all the cars and come back and put them on.
He made reference to your other face, meaning you're behind, right?
Yes.
You said you were in body shop, you had cat calls and hooting and hollering because you're a woman. Did you find that in trim shop also?
A few times, yes.
How did you deal with it?
I didn't. Back when I was in the trim department, my husband was working there, and I had a very jealous husband, so I kind of sheltered from everybody. All I did was read, and I would only talk to my partner. And just sit there on my breaks or go to the bathroom and come back.
What was that like for you, working on the same shift as your husband? How did that work for you in the plant? And what did you do with your children now that you were both working on the same night shift?
When I went to the night shift, being that my dad was in the night shift, still in the body shop, they were living in Leslie at the time, so when my dad came into work, my mother came in with them and stayed with my kids at home. And when I was working, then when I got out of work, my dad would pick my mother up and they went back home. So I was fortunate that my parents would help me out with that.
Was it difficult working in the plant with the jealous husband?
Very, very difficult.
If I may, was that strenuous on your marriage?
Yes, very strenuous. Because of the comments or the guys looking at me or whatever. People don't have no way of knowing that he was my husband. So if they would make a remark or say something, it was rough.
Did you and your husband work in the same department in close proximity to each other, or did he work in another department?
He worked it out, because he had more seniority, quite a few more seniority than I did. He worked it out that he always worked in the same department as I did.
Mm. So, did you get divorced shortly after you became?
I was working there for 5 years, and I got divorced.
Having your husband work here, and he had more seniority than you, did you two eat lunch together, come into work and leave work together? Did you take your breaks together? How did that work?
When I was working day shift, I would walk to work. Because when I was on the night shift, I would ride with my husband, and we would bring lunch and eat lunch together.
Now, you walk, so you live close to the plant?
Yes, and we only live like 3 or 4 blocks from the plant.
Did you like living that close to the place you worked?
Yes, I did. To me, that after leaving Cuba, this was home, around the Fisher Body area here, because I was raised, I was partly raised around here.
Okay. Was living that close to the plant Like, what if you went, when you did go to Ninth, as far as being a mother, were you, did you ever go home at lunchtime to see your kids or anything like that? Were you ever able to do things like that?
No, I never went home for lunch because by that time the kids were sleeping, and I knew my mother was taking care of them, so they were pretty good hands.
Okay. When you, you stayed in Trim for the next 5 years?
Yes. No, I gotta take it back. When there was a big laid off in 79, and I did not let get laid off because seniority, I lacked seniority of 1 week to be laid off. So they sent me to paint. And I was on the spray booth there for 3 months until I got out of there when they started calling people back.
Couple of questions. First of all, what's a spray booth?
A spray booth is when you're painting the cars.
Painting the cars?
Yes.
So I know there must have been special equipment that you had to wear. Did you have to wear special clothing into it?
We had a mask and coveralls.
What part of the car did you paint?
I was working on the right-hand side of the car.
On the right-hand side? Were you doing door jams, deck lids, hoods? What were you spraying?
I was spraying the half of the whole outside of the car.
Half of the whole outside of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Was that hard to learn?
Yes.
How long did it take you to learn how to paint a car?
It was in probably the second day I was doing my own, but the hard was the fumes and the smell in there. It was my sinuses.
Did it affect you?
Yes, it did.
Does it still affect you?
Probably. I had asthma as a kid, so that wouldn't help. So.
Asthma and spraying paint. That doesn't sound like a wonderful combination.
At the time, I used to do whatever I was sent to do. I never thought about not doing it.
What was it like going from trim shop to paint?
To me, it was a different world.
What made it different?
As soon as you walk in there, the smell and the atmosphere, and wearing the coveralls again and everything else.
How were the people?
People were pretty nice. By that time, there was a lot more females and stuff in paint.
Were there a lot of women spraying paint? Paint back then, did it have lead in it, and did it affect children at all? Do you know anything about that?
Now I do. At the time, I didn't. I didn't even think about it at the time, but I know there was lead in that paint. And the time I was there, it was four of us in that booth, and I was the only woman in there.
Really? Did they ever test you?
No. I've never been tested for lead.
Never tested you. What was it like being in the booth?
Yeah. I felt very isolated. I was glad when I was working. And that was the only time I didn't like working in the shop.
Because of the isolation?
Yes.
And because you had to wear a mask, were you able to communicate to the other?
No, I was not at all.
So what'd you do for 8 hours?
I just get out on my breaks and sit outside to kind of breathe a little bit air, different air. That's all I did in my breaks.
Was there much difference?
Not really, but to me at least I didn't have to wear the mask.
People in Trim, they were partying, they were fun, had a good time. What were people like in paint? How did they treat you in paint?
They treated me pretty nice. We used to put on the ovens, we'd bake hams and all kind of food in there.
Well, you just said they had lead paint and you guys were baking hams?
Yes, we were. We were cooking right there, warming up our food and everything in the oven.
If the ovens are hot enough to cook food, what was the climate like? Was it hot?
Yes, really hot in there.
It's hot. Can you give me an idea of what the heat was like? Was it summertime or winter?
In the summertime, it was really hot in there.
So if it was like 80 degrees outside, how hot would it be inside?
It had to be over 100.
At least 100. You had to wear coveralls. Did you have shower facilities, locker facilities? Was it dirty?
Yes, it was very dirty. But I would just come back home and take a shower as soon as I got home.
And how far was the locker room from your job?
It was a ways.
Did the plant supply their own
coveralls?
Coveralls?
Yes, they
did.
They did, but I would take mine home and wash it myself.
Really? They didn't wash them for you?
They could have, but I would, you know, I didn't go in and take my shower. I used just to take them home.
Oh. And you were there for how long?
I was in the booth for about 3 months. After that, I went out to the sealer line. I was there for 2 months, and then I was sent back to Tremor.
What was the sealer line like? What did you do on the sealer line?
On the sealer line, we had to cover just about all the holes we could in the car. Because I was like a utility person there, too, on the sealer line.
So was the sealer Play-Doh, or was it a gun?
They had, depending
like
on the job I was doing, there were different ones.
What?
Some of the jobs you had to do like a Palmer gun kind of thing, but it was white. And other, I forgot how they call that. And other ones you had a gun.
So yeah, some was like a permagum, and that's kind of like, but what did you say, like Play-Doh or
like
a silly putty?
Mm-hmm.
And you put that up, or it was like bubble gum. Yeah?
And some were patches, depending on what we're doing.
You're there, now you're back in the trim. What job did you do?
And trim, I was utility again.
Utility again?
Yes.
What year are we talking about?
79.
79. Are there more women now?
Yes. Quite a few came in 78. When I came back from, you know, the laid-offs, there were quite a few more in there.
As more women came in the plant, what were some of the changes that you noticed?
They changed some of the men's bathroom into ladies. That was one of the changes.
So you didn't have to take 5 minutes to
get
to the bathroom?
Yes, it wasn't as far anymore.
By having more, by moving around so much and working in all the different departments and you have more women coming in, did you develop any long-lasting friendships that extended outside of the plant?
Oh, yes. I think we have, like, to me, it's like a family.
A family?
My union with Fisherbody is like a family.
What makes it a family?
Because even if we don't see each other, we still have each other in each other's heart and think about each other and think about our birth dates. You know, like Cheryl's an example. I don't hardly ever see her anymore. But I remember, you know, her and her birthday and remember her kids. And, you know, to me it's a family.
We're talking about family. We've been in the facility. So I want to change gears here. Can you tell me about some of the happy times you had in the plant with your work family?
Oh, we had a lot, you know, seeing our family, our friends get married, have babies, and the kids grown up. Being there for graduation, different activities for them.
Different activities, that was fun. And did you ever vacation with these people?
Sometimes, yes.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. When you said, you made reference to your union family. Are you union active?
Yes, but I didn't come active until later on in my life.
Until later on in your life. What did you, how did you become active in it?
Different people. And they had a lot of influence on me. They have been inviting me to go to union meetings, to do different activities. And there's quite a few people that I all, you know, like Ray Zamora. He partly kind of pushed me into it big time. And I have, like, Sam Warren and yourself, Marilyn Coulter, and Shelly Grissom, you know, Veronica Johnson. There's quite a few people that kind of invited me to meetings and a little bit here and there and got me involved slowly. I started with Sam's committee. Peggy Niblock, she had to quit Sam's committee for some reason, And she asked me to please take her place, and that's how I got involved.
Staying with the union a little bit, can you tell me how the union family and the work family meshed together? What impact did your union family have on your work life?
I involve my family in with my union family, bring them into the events and to, like Bianca, especially my youngest one, she had been raised around everybody in the family. And the union, she considered aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas and everything.
So you were involved with a lot. During your time, and I'm jumping here, allow me that for a second. I'm going to jump back at work. And you were involved in the union, and you were involved in work. During your time working in the plant, the roles of employees kind of changed. Did you ever get involved in some of the programs that they had? Like, for example, they had QWL, which was Quality Work Life. They had Team Build. They had product development. Did you get involved in any of those types of programs where hourly employees had an impact on the business?
Yes, I have. I was involved with the P90s and GMX 130. That's in the early involvement with quality control for the Grand Ams and the Aleros. And
so the P90 was a...
P90 was a Chevrolet.
A Chevrolet. And that was the
early involvement. Like right now we're doing a Delta.
Okay. So you said quality control. When did you get in quality control?
Oh, man. The quality control, back then they used to do a test to get into quality control. So Westbrook, one of the supervisors, Mac Heston, they asked me if I would, and they said, we need people in quality control, and do you want to put in for a test? And I said, well, I don't have no seniority because it was an 80. And so they said, put in, and I put in, and I passed the test, so I was hired in quality control, but I only lasted a few months because the seniority was reduced and I was back out again.
So quality control is a preferred seniority job?
Yes.
Once you got in there?
I always had return rights, so every time they needed people, they would call me back in and I'd be in and out of quality.
Once again, preferred job for being a woman. What did people think about you?
I got to ask again, how did I get the job? But I was always been a person that liked challenge, so I put in for different stuff.
You're a woman and you're a minority. Did that ever play a role?
Oh, yes.
In those jobs?
Yes.
How was that being a woman and a minority working in a preferred job?
A lot of time I was asked who was I doing, who was I seeing, a lot of questions like that. Especially after I got divorced.
Did that come from not only men but women too?
Yes.
How did that make you feel?
If I just tell them that I got it because I put in for it. I always known that I was okay with God and myself and I didn't worry about it.
So you're working in the quality control, getting a chance to work on some of the advanced projects, the P90s and the 130 projects, which were the different types of projects. What was that like? Were you working with, did you work more with management? Tell me about that.
That was joint management and union and the engineers.
What was it like having that type of responsibility?
I really liked it because it was challenging to me. And it wasn't as much involved that I was right now with Delta, because to Delta, I thought this time around we had more about input in it with the engineers, and I think they finally listened to us more than I
ever. Lansing's always been called the capital of quality. You obviously have been more than qualified to do all the jobs that you've done. What impact do you think that the workers had on making that name a reality?
Well, it's in this majority of it. Because we have caring people to care about the job they did. I believe it. That's how it been. You wanted that car. I remember when people used to follow their car. They know they were going to have a car built, and they used to follow it through to make sure everybody did it right. But I think we always did that anyway.
So you think that would make something?
That we care about what we're building.
People care.
Yes, I believe that.
And with the workers make caring about what they do and employees cared about what they did. How did the supervisors feel about employees getting involved? Like yourself having more power?
I believe that they've been there with us. The majority. We have ups and downs and supervisors, but I think the majority care.
But most of them have been supportive.
Yes.
Marta, you told me that you got a divorce. How did being a single mother now, working, having responsibilities, getting union active, how big a role did your benefits and things like that play into the raising of your children?
If I wouldn't been working, I don't think I could ever got a divorce because, you know, I didn't have a meaning to support my family, my kids, and my benefits.
So those are union negotiated benefits?
Yes.
Now, they've also have tuition assistance programs, which is also known as TAP. Have you ever used any of those?
Oh, yes, quite a bit. Any chance I had. I went to LCC, part of it, Michigan State, some for accounting, bookkeeping, hotel and restaurant management. I had taken quite a few classes there.
Mm. Now, I know you said accounting and bookkeeping. Now, I also know that you also hold a position in your local union, yes?
Yes, I do.
And what position is that?
Trustee.
So your negotiated benefit helped you to prepare you for your leadership job,
yes,
right?
And I'm going to quote Dorothy Stevens, if I live to be 150, I can never pay my union.
And so how do you so you like your union a lot?
Yes, I do.
And are you also involved in community activities? What other kinds of things do you do?
I'm involved with my church, and I'm involved with the Advent House, the homeless, and different organizations around there. So
what other types of organizations are you involved with?
I'm vice president of CLU, Coalition of Union Working Women, and we do a lot of, we are very involved in the community. I'm also a member of APRI, that you are the president, and quite a few other organizations.
So you've worn many hats while you've been there.
Yes.
Have you ever, you were active in your union and you came in the 70s, were you ever involved in any strikes?
No. The only strike that I was in is the one that only lasted a couple of days, so I never really been involved in them.
Was your father active in?
He been a trade unionist because he believed in a union, but he never really got involved. Probably because of his language, he could understand English real good, but he couldn't communicate as well he wanted to.
Now, can you tell us about what it was like for some of the other people who may be Spanish speaking, who aren't able to communicate as well as you? There's some things that you did for your fellow workers.
I had translated every time I did not been asked to or needed, or see somebody that needed it.
Mm-hmm. So what types of situations would they put you in to translate for?
Anything from people getting time off or having problems, or out there be at the hospital, they can communicate and you know, different activities at work, or show somebody how to do their job.
Mm-hmm. So you've also been instrumental in, I know a lot of union grievance procedures.
Yes, yes. I have.
And you were also instrumental in helping your union start a special project where we do a certain celebration.
Oh, the Hispanic Latino, yeah, through the Civil Rights Department?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you've also been on the trustee and the and you were Civil Rights Committee and you were Recreation Committee. And do you also do a lot of union recruiting?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, anytime I can.
When new people come into the plan, what do you tell them?
I tell them to attend union meetings. I try to invite them to our programs.
Can you tell us about how you, do you try to help mentor young women who come in the way Arlene Parker mentored you?
Yes, I try.
And now we're coming through another change. You've been through a lot of changes. The facility that hired your father and your husband and you and fed your children, Fisher Body, is going to be closed. How does that make you feel?
Sad. Even though that I see a bright future with Delta and everything coming up with a new plant, it's very sad because to me that was home. It's like that's what helped me be what I am today. You know, financially with my kids, raise my kids, put them through my kids to college and everything I could.
So you're closing one door and opening another as you're getting ready to go to Delta. Is there anything from the spirit of Fisher Body you hope continues to transfer over to Delta?
Yes, our quality. Hopefully that we have been number one again and still continue to be number one.
What does it feel like to be making history?
It's great. It feels wonderful to see that we're accomplishing something.
Do they have a lot of hourly employees helping open the new plant?
Yes. Yes, we did. We started 12 of us, and now it's gone to a very large number.
That, as you, how do you think it's going to affect the community, Fisher Body leaving?
I think it's be hard for the right here for the area, especially the neighborhood that I love and live in for so long. But I think, you know, Delta hopefully is going to help us out in general.
As we close and we're going to Delta, and you changed and you went from a time when women were being tested to see if they could do the job, having catcalls and now you're active and involved. Do you feel that as a woman and a minority now that things are, that women have arrived, that minorities have arrived, that things are now equal?
I wouldn't say we're equal yet, but we're getting there, a lot closer to getting there. Because if it took this long, I'm still the only Hispanic female that's been in the executive board, or Latina, or whatever you want to label me now, because they have so many labels for us. But I'm the only one that ever been in the executive board still up to this day.
With that being the case, do you feel, is that something that as a culture you have to work from the inside, or is that, are there still doors to be opened and
both,
ceilings to
both.
Be broken open?
Both.
So are there any types of Marta, we've talked a lot about your life today. Can you, is there anything that you'd like to share with us that we haven't touched on?
Not really. I just want to say that I'm very proud of all of you, and I love you, all of you, right here on this table right now, plus everybody else in my union, and then anything I would do for my union and my people. And I'm here to serve where I can. That's how I feel.
Marta, a lot of people who will be hearing this interview have never even stepped in a plant. Excuse me. What would you like people to know about the workers inside the factory, UAW Local 602 members? What is it about us that you'd like them to know about us?
I would like the general public to know that we're hardworking, we're conscious people, that we care, and we're not ballers beer drinking like they label us, some people do. There's a lot of educated people in the plant, a lot of people with degrees and education, and we do really care about what we're doing.
I know they say that there's that, but they also have a lot of Bible groups that are inside the plant also, don't they?
Yes, we do. There's a lot of people that have Bible studies and their lunch time and all different kind of activities.
All right. I have to say that if you don't have anything else to say to us, it's been an outstanding interview, and I appreciate you giving time to us today.
Thank you, Marta.
Thank you, Marta.
Thanks, Marta.
Thank you all.